Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I got to change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Let me tell you about our guest, Sal Santoro, co-owner of The Crooked Path, which is a traditional witchcraft shop located in Burbank, California. With more than 30 years of experience, Sal has practiced various occult systems, has given him the ability to combine these structures and systems for practical ritual magic. His studies include traditional witchcraft, ceremonial magic, planetary magic, voodoo, and spellcraft. Sal sees what he does as math, and no matter which religion you identify with, you can always use your will to manifest change. Sal Santoro on Coast to Coast. Sal, welcome to the program.
Wow. Thank you very much, George. How are you doing tonight?
Good. I'm looking forward to this. How did you get involved in witchcraft and things like that?
I grew up back in New England, and that sounds stereotypical. You think of New England and witchcraft, but it really wasn't. I grew up in the woods of New Hampshire, and one of my really dear friends and I both got involved in about 1979 to 1980, so that would have put me at about 15 years old. And I just became really, really into it. And I just wanted to know, I wanted more knowledge as much as I could get. And, of course, this is pre-internet, so, I did what I could and tried to find what I, could find out there in my limited abilities with, like, the public library in New Hampshire or whatever. And by 1985, I moved to Los Angeles, California. And when I moved to Los Angeles, it changed my life because everything was available to me right there.
Yeah.
And it started, I did my first internship in a year and a day with a Wiccan group called the Druidic Craft of the Wise.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been in 1989 with a woman named Judith Dufresne. And I learned with them. After that went on, I moved on to my second group. And it was more along the Gardnerian tradition, still Wicca. And I did a year and a day with that group as well. And after that time, I moved forward and I joined the Golden Dawn, which is a ceremonial magical order. I'm sure you know that.
Yeah.
But, some people don't. And it's an esoteric order that is based kind of like combinations of the backgrounds of some Rosicrucian work as well as connected to the Masonic lodges. And it was first developed around 1860 in Britain, and that was where the first order started, and it brought out people like Aleister Crowley, MacGregor Mathers, Dion Fortune, people of this ilk.
All the heavyweights at the time, that's right.
Yeah, Oscar Wilde, A.E. Waite. There was a lot of people that really were in that system at that time. And so I found it by the early 90s, and I did my time with them. When I actually left there, I ended up working at a very famous occult shop in Hollywood called Panpipes. It was then owned by a man named George Derby, who had a background in the Voodoo systems as well as ceremonial magic, and I was his, like, cleanup kid. You know, I would go around and sweep the floors. And
yep, like the intern, right?
The intern, right, right. I was, you know, I was like the Jiminy Cricket. And I went there, and I learned from him even more, and then my systems just kept growing from that point. And, you know, moved forward a couple, you know, years, and now I have a shop with my wife here in Burbank, California.
Good for you. We'll talk about that shop in a moment. But did it take time to try to convince people, hey, I'm a nice guy, I'm not evil, I'm not a Satanist, you know, I practice Wiccan, I'm a witch, but you know what, you people are, you know, you've got the wrong information about what we do. Did you have to ever come across that?
I think that, I mean, more so in the 90s for sure. But, you know, during that time, I left Wicca. I didn't stay through it my entire life. Because remember, Wicca is actually a religious system.
Right.
And it deals in the duality of the feminine and the masculine, using usually pagan deities of Europe, old deities, and the agricultural system with the wheel of the year and the movements of the moon, the lunar cycle. That, to me, was beautiful in its system, but it limited me to do work that I wanted to do. So I did leave it behind at one point. I've looked into different systems. I got to meet Anton LaVey, actually, who was actually a really, really nice guy. That's what people say about him.
I was just going to say that. A lot of people think otherwise.
Yeah, he was a card. He was. I mean, when you hear about him being a carny, he actually was. And the only thing that he told me, you know, I was so intimidated because, you know, here I am, this young occultist, and this guy walks into the shop, and he gave me one sentence. He told me, "Don't be a parrot."
That was his advice. Yeah.
Yep. And then he walked by, and I was just like, that stayed with me, you know.
What is Hollywood, you know, and you live in Los Angeles now, what has Hollywood done to the impression of witches? I mean, I think back to The Wizard of Oz and things like that, and then mm-hmm. the TV show Bewitched, which was a cute story of a witch.
Sure.
But, it, you know, Hollywood gives you the impression that, you know, witches are running around, you know, turning kids into gingerbread and everything else.
Yeah, I definitely get that. Well, you know, Hollywood has always... I think they're actually they're the cause of what people see, of course, because we're so induced by media, and we see it so much, and television shows. And, you know, I always tell people, it's like, you know, in the 80s when rock and roll was big and MTV was really huge, and we were dealing with the PMRC, and, you know, heavy metal bands like Motley Crue and all those guys, you know, they were using all this / occult vision just to sell records, you know, kind of like Kiss did in the 70s.
Yeah.
Or Black Sabbath. But, you know, Hollywood got a hold of it, and they just milked it dry. And they're still doing it. And it bothers me because now I'm almost 60. Now I'm 4 years from 60 years old.
Well, you don't sound it at all.
Well, thank you.
Good for you.
Yeah, 56 years old this year. And, you know, it's like... For me, it really bothers me because so many people are caught up with what they're seeing in, like, shows like Sabrina or American Horror Story, and, you know, the sensationalism of it all. And it really isn't. It's just life. It's living life and moving through it with a certain concept on how you want to achieve certain things in your life.
Well, give me your definition, Sal, of what a witch is.
A witch, first of all, is a non-binary term. So it's not just a female. It's a person that uses the herbs and oils and the elements of the earth and their surroundings to cause change with their will, by using spellcraft, incantation, oils, and candles to work in the planetary magic structure, like with color scales. So when you look at witchcraft in the modern sense, we're not talking about Wicca, because Wicca is a religion in itself.
Right.
But the act of witchcraft is really based around a lot of planetary magic systems. It's based around some of Ptolemaic structure and the Chaldean oracles, and it's also based around Kabbalah, because, you know, people see the colors of the planets that they're using. When you see somebody say, oh, I need to burn this candle and it's this color, the reason that they're getting that color, it's actually from one of the four worlds on the Tree of Life in Kabbalah. And they don't know that, but that's actually where it comes from. And you combine that with the concept of the 7 days in the week, which were the seven ancient planets, not the modern planets, because they're considered eras in time. They're too far out. And in Ptolemy's time, that's what they dealt with on a daily level. And this is where the names come from. And so you key in on time with color spectrum and herbs and oils that cross-correlate to those planets that you're trying to work with and line it up to get the job done.
How does mathematics and science play a role in this?
Well, when I think what I was trying to say with that was it's like math to me. It's mathematical in itself. It's not gematria, which is a system of magic through numbers. It's not that specifically, but it's for me, it's like simple mathematics. It's like knowing what time of day to do this working, what planet to bring into. So that's what I was trying to get across when I said that.
Okay. Now, you've cast spells before.
For years, yeah.
Good spells, bad spells, both?
So now this is where you start getting into like thoughts of what's good, what's bad, what's up, what's down, what's
yep,
back, what's
yep.
right. And, you know, we're all, I want to believe that we're all raised well. I mean, I grew up with parents. My father was on the B-24 Liberator in World War II. You know, I was raised in an Italian home on the East Coast with a good family. And I was brought up well, and was brought up to respect people and do right by people. You know, so with that, when you have to decide the work that you're doing magically, you have to follow what's inside you and if it's right to be doing that. It's your compass within you and the way you are as a person that decides whether something is bad or good. There's a great occultist in the modern time, okay, named Lon Milo Duquette. And he wrote in one of his books, there is no black or white magic. There's just the magician.
Yeah, Lon's been on the program before.
He is a huge, I mean, he's a big deal for me. He's an amazing man, you know what I mean? And that's a quote from one of his books. It's true. It's not black or white. It's the person. You know, if the person's going to be doing something horrible and malicious, then that would be deemed in that way. For sure, as being a darker act.
Sure.
You know, you have to look at what is coercion to some people might not be to someone else. Some people see doing a love spell on a person that they already know is bending them to get to the advantage that they want, right? But other people see it differently.
How much does karma have to do with this?
Well, I believe that karma, you know, is a word that I believe is kind of gets used wrong. I mean, karma is a really important term in a lot of Eastern systems. But when people think of karma, I think that they have this understanding that, oh, if I do something good today, something, you know, I'm going to get something good's going to come back. If I do something bad, something's going to come back. See, this is the thing that I think is wrong. Because you shouldn't be doing good or bad things to get good or, to get a good badge. You should be doing good things because you are a good person, and that's the way we are. To make the world move, we should all be treating each other that way. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so absolutely.
The concept of karma being mixed into an esoteric system, it's hard to put your finger on. Like, in Wicca, when Wicca was developed by Gerald Gardner in 1956, you know, he made that cohesive system off of utilizing components of ceremonial magic and things like the Golden Dawn, mm-hmm. people like Dion Fortune and Crowley, people like that. And then he brought in the pagan gods of old and built it around the Wheel of the Year, thus creating a new religion. Okay, and when he did that, this might upset some people out there, and you know, this is just my view. I don't impose my views on anybody because it's not right. But I believe that when you start stepping into that system and they say, oh, if you do this, so in it harm none, do what thou wilt. Okay, that's a term that Gardner phrased for the Wiccan system, which is actually a revamp of do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law by Aleister Crowley. And, you know, when you look at the two, they're obviously, there's similarities, but they're different. But I believe that, you remember when Gardner built this system, he was a fictional writer, and when he built the system of Wicca, we were just coming out of World War II. We were coming, and in the United States specifically, we were coming into McCarthyism, and everything was set up a certain way, and our boys were home, and everything was moving in that space and time. And I believe that when he developed this system, he didn't want people to think that witch meant bad, you know, because right. it has a stamp on it, kind of like we were discussing earlier. And I think that he did his best by creating sowing that harm none, do what thou wilt, to show people that they were not unlike people that study or practice Western systems of religion, like Christianity, right? And I think that that's where he was going, but that was kind of like softening the blow so people could see that they weren't malicious, they weren't these twisted crone people, they weren't deviants or being evil, you know? And I think that it spoke a lot for that time. But I think people now are starting to understand it. You know, when you have a store like this, I deal with parents anywhere between 35 and 60 that are bringing their kids in the store now to teach them things and to give them the right information, to give them choices. And, you know, being a kid growing up in the 60s and 70s, I didn't have that. You know,
a lot of us didn't.
Yeah, we didn't. And I'm not knocking my parents at all. They're amazing. They're both still alive, 97 and 94.
That's great.
So, yeah, they're great. They've got their wits about them. They're great people. But, you know, they just happened to teach me in a certain way. You know, I was an altar boy in a Catholic church growing up.
Yeah.
It was beautiful to me. So, you know, after I moved through the systems that I did, I realized that witchcraft doesn't really mean that you worship the devil or you worship a god or a goddess specifically. Witchcraft is just a science.
What you just said is the most poignant thing about this. Most people, Sal, most uh-huh. people think when you talk about witchcraft, you're talking about Satan or the devil. And that is so wrong, but they all think that.
Mm-hmm.
How come?
The media, television, movies, you know, look at the movies of the 70s. Every time there was a movie in the 70s and the 80s, think of Rosemary's Baby. You know, there was always a pentagram. And, you know, how long up into the 90s did people see the five-pointed star and either think it was A, the sign of someone of the Jewish faith, or they thought it was the devil? But not many people really could wrap their head around it other than that just meant something bad. You know, just like the word occult meant something bad. Now, not many people realize it. Some of us do, but occult is just knowledge that's hidden from view. It's esoteric knowledge. And a lot of people, I think, confuse words like occult with cult. You know, because when you think of this, again, in my lifetime, Jim Jones, Charles Manson.
Cults.
Cults are popping up everywhere.
Yep.
But that's not occultism.
The Moonies. That was a cult.
The Moonies was another one. And the ones that remember the ones that took
Heaven's Gate.
Heaven's Gate people, yeah. That's a cult. That's not occultism. And I think that people just get scared of the words. And I think through movies and things like that, this is why people, for so long, were stuck in this being one thing. I mean, my mother comes to my store, and she still is like, isn't that? I'm like, no. And I have to explain to her. My mom's very open-minded and is very great with the whole thing now.
Yeah.
But she's known I've been this way since, you know, the early 80s.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.